Jesus' name, amen. And so this morning I woke up, and as I'm sure many of you have heard, you know, there was yet another terrorist attack in London. And they seem to be coming more and more frequently. And they seem to be getting quite a bit of press. And people are just concerned, and anxiety levels are heightened, and just fear. Fear seems to be running rampant all over because of this. And so this is what I felt God saying to me because of this today. And this is what it says, first verse. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around, and they shall see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because of the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The message here is, in the first couple of verses, it says, the second verse specifically, it says, behold, darkness shall cover the earth, deep darkness, the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. What this is saying is that even though darkness is rising in the earth, and we see darkness rising, right? We see that there's trouble everywhere, and there's concern, and it's escalating, and it's happening more often, and we know it's just evil. We know that the things going on, they're just pure evil. And we focus very much on all of that, and it's hard not to, because the media shows, it's everywhere. It's the talk on the radio, it's the talk everywhere. And it's very hard not to focus on the darkness. But the Bible says, even as darkness is rising, it says light is rising even more. It says that the darkness is going to increase. The Bible tells us that. We shouldn't be surprised by it. We're seeing it in our day and age. We're seeing it happen in our generation, and maybe it happened in previous generations, but now it just seems to be escalating. Darkness is rising, but yet God is not there silent. He is also saying that light is going to rise as well. Because in the midst of darkness rising, he says, the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Darkness will rise, but so will the light. The light will rise too. And there's a verse in Romans which said it's kind of a parallel of this, a New Testament parallel of this. It says, where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. And so we can look at the world circumstances and say, oh my, it's just out of control, and we could be filled with anxiety, we could be filled with fear, or we can say, this is the time when sin is rising, so we know that grace is rising too. We know that grace is going to be even more. We know that God is going to pour out his grace even more in abundance. If evil is rampant, that means grace is even more in abundance. That means there is more cause for those of us who have accepted Christ as their Savior to be joyful. To know that God is going to move and has given us the opportunity to move as well. To have him work through us to counteract the darkness. Because we know that darkness flees from the light. When the light goes on, darkness scatters. And the Bible tells us clearly, yeah, darkness is going to rise, sin is going to increase, but grace is going to increase even more. Grace is going to rise even more. The glory of the Lord will shine upon you. And He's going to rise on you. So there's really not cause for fear. There's really not cause for anxiety because we're on the winning side. We're on God's side. And He tells us, expect the one, but also expect the other. There's going to be a separation in this day and age. The dark is going to get darker and the light is going to get lighter. The middle ground is not going to be so much populated anymore. It's going to be a clear distinction. The light is going to get lighter. The dark is going to get darker. It's almost like God is forcing us to choose a side. Where are we going to be? There's no more room for lukewarmness. He's saying, you either come with me to where there's much more grace, or you get caught up into the world's system. And because of that, verse 3 tells us, the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. The Gentiles shall come to your light. See, in this day and age, it's so clear that there's so much hatred all around. There's hatred towards Americans. There's hatred towards so many other countries. There's hatred. It's very obvious. It's very clear. There's no mistaking. There's hatred all over the place. But people are attracted not to hatred. People are attracted to love. Even as Hannah said, you know, you show people love and they just run to it. You show people attention and they just run to it. I've told you before that when we were at the church in the inner city, we would get like 100 kids on a weeknight. None of them with parents. Just because they knew that they would get some attention, they would get some love, they would get somebody that would listen to them. Somebody would care, and they would just come flocking to us. We didn't know what we were doing. It wasn't because we had it all together. There's no way that you could prepare for 100 kids unchaperoned with just a few adults. But yet God let it happen because all we had was love. And they came. And so the Bible says the Gentiles represents like the unsaved people of that time. The Gentiles shall come to your rising. The Gentiles shall come to your light. The Gentiles, those that are unsaved will be attracted to the thing that you have. If you have the light in you, and the Bible says the light is going to increase, when the light increases in you, people will come to it. Do you remember, it's kind of like, you remember the story of Moses in the burning bush, and Moses, he's seen this bush and it was burning, and he says, let me turn aside and see this great light, or let me turn aside and see this bush which burns but yet is not consumed. And that is essentially what's another picture of this. When people see the fire of God in you, the light of God in you, when people see that burning brightness in you, they'll just be attracted to it. What is that in that person? How come they're not scared? How come they're not filled with anxiety? How come even though they have all these problems, they're not crumbling? How come they handle things so differently than me? But if you look just like the rest of the world, there is no real attraction. But if the light of God is in you, if the glory of God is showing through you, then people will come. People will be attracted to it. People will wonder what that is. You will have the open door to talk with them, and you will have something meaningful to share with them. How could you not be angry at the situation? How could that happen to you and you not be angry? How could you forgive those people who did such a horrible thing to you? The light of God shines through you. There's a difference, and people are attracted to it. The Gentiles will come to your rising, and kings will come to the brightness of your rising. This is the plan that God has. This is the plan that God has for us. It says in verse 4, lift up your eyes all around and see. Lift up your eyes. Look for something good. There's so much bad, you don't even have to look for the bad. It just comes. It just appears. You almost have to look away from the bad. Lift up your eyes. Oftentimes we hear another version of good news, and it will probably happen in, you know, not too many days, you know, because it seems to be happening all the time, and we just put our heads down and we shake our heads. We put our heads down and we shake our heads. Oh my, this is the way the world's going. And the Bible says you don't have to necessarily look down, just lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Look around for something good. I know that you are bombarded with all the bad. That seems to be what people are attracted to. The sensationalism of that attracts people for some reason. Maybe it's like a sore that people just like to pick at. But people are attracted to it. But the Bible says, lift up your eyes. Get your eyes past all of the negative. And look to Him. Look to Him. He says, your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. It just reminds me how if you look at the youth, it's talking about, you know, sons and your daughters, children. It seems that even though the world is seemingly going one way, the youth seem to have an attraction and a bent towards God nowadays. There's so much like radical abandonment. When I was a kid, yeah, you went to church, but now the youth actually seem to be hungry for God. Not all of them, of course. But you go and you see the youth, and they seem to be hungry for God. And I think that's a sign of what God is saying here. You know, your sons and your daughters, they're going to come. They're going to be nursed at your side. They're going to be attracted to that light, and they're going to be on board with God. Maybe even more than adults. And sometimes the adults are a little intimidated by the youth, because they just seem so abandoned. They don't mind raising their hands. They don't mind jumping and shouting for God. And it makes the older set a little nervous about all that. But they don't care. They just love God. And the Bible tells us, expect it. They're going to come from afar. They're going to come from afar because the light is increasing. And the light is increasing, and they're going to be attracted to it. No, they don't want what the world has to offer. They see where it goes. There's something so much better in God. And so, they will come. They will come. And then he says in verse 5, he says, then you shall see and become radiant. I love that. I love that verse. And I'm gonna turn to Revelation 21 for just a moment, because this... this is it's a great part of the Word of God, and it kind of ties in here very nicely, and I have to set it up. So I'm going to read Revelation 21, verse 16. This is talking about the heavenly Jerusalem, and you'll see how it ties in a minute. It says this, Revelation 21, 16. It says, the city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth, and the measure... And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. So we don't know what furlongs are, but the equivalent of this is about almost 1,400 miles. So the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city, is about 1,400 miles square. So it's 1,400 miles long, 1,400 miles wide, 1,400 miles high. Okay, so it's big. To get a sense of that, that's probably about half of the United States in length. or across. But of course, 1,400 miles is well into the well past our atmosphere and into space. Okay, that's the engineer in me. So now we're going to jump to verse number 22. Because it says here, "But I saw no temple in it." This is still the New Jerusalem. "For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need for the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there." The Lamb is its light. So think about it. Think about it. This the Bible tells us back in Isaiah that we're gonna look and we're gonna become radiant. It says that the glory of the Lord's gonna shine on us. It says that His light will shine on us. And it gives us an example of how great His light is. It says that there is no sun there. There is no need for a sun because God is going to be the sun. He's going to be in that city and He's going to light the city for 1,400 miles, one way, the other way, and then up. He's going to light that city. That is some powerful light. That is some powerful light, and that's the light that the Bible says is going to rise on us. That, and it might not be a figurative light, although in Moses' day it was. It says his face shone. His face was bright because he was in the presence of God. And the Bible actually says what we have is greater than what Moses had. This is that light that is in us. This is that light that shines in us. This is that light that God has. A light bright enough to light an area 1,400 miles cube. That is just fascinating. And that is the power of God. And it says that is what's going to rise in us. Of course, people will be attracted. Of course, people will wonder what that is. Of course. Of course, this can overshadow all of the darkness that is around. It says that we're going to become radiant. We're going to glow, and it's kind of like a reflected glow. God shines on us, and we just radiate who He is. He's in us, and He just comes out of us. The light of God just shines through us and is amazing to all those around us. We go from glory to glory. The Bible in the first couple of verses says the glory of the Lord will shine upon you. Now it says we're going to be radiant. We have the opportunity to be increasing in God's glory during the same time when darkness is increasing. This is that time. This is what's available. This is the potential that God says is available. Because we know that the darkness is rising. So that means the brightness will be rising too. We know that sin is abounding, and we know that grace will abound even more. And it says, because of that, your heart will swell with joy. Not with fear, not with panic, not with worry. Not with paralyzation, because sometimes we just don't even know what to do and we do nothing. We get paralyzed with fear. The Bible says if you're in that place of being paralyzed with fear, it says that love overcomes all fear. If we're overcome with fear, we haven't experienced God's love. Because God's love overcomes fear. And He gives us the prescription of what to do in the very first verse. It says, "Arise and shine." We have to arise. We have to shine. We have to reflect that. We actually have to take a first step. We actually have to do something. We just can't sit back and wait for all things to happen. Even if I go back to what Hannah said, she has to step out. You have to talk to somebody. It might be uncomfortable. It might not be something you want to do. It might be against everything in your personality. But the Bible says, "Do arise, arise." In Romans 13, it says, now is the time to awake out of sleep. Now is the time for it, because the time, the night is well spent. The time is at hand. The time is at hand to do something. The time is at hand to arise, because God's light is with us. God's light is here. We know it is because we see the darkness rising. We know that the light will rise even more. This is the time for us to shine. We're almost done. Worship team, if you would come on back up. So it is our choice. It is our choice what we will do. We can miss the opportunity. We can be paralyzed with fear. We can let it go. Grace can go unused. Paul tells us that in multiple occasions. He said, the grace given to me was not in vain. Which means that grace can be given in vain, so that when the Bible says that sin abounds and grace abounds even more, grace can go unused. And we don't want grace to go unused. The world is too much in a bad place for grace to go unused. We have to be the light of this world. We have to be the light shining in darkness. The light that is planted on a hill, not hidden underneath a bushel. God will supply all of it for us in abundance. Do things amazing beyond what you can imagine. Just make yourself available. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. His name be praised. Worship team, will you come and lead us in a final song? If you would all